when you're ready.
Okay, so, top everyone. Hi. So today I think what I was hoping Mr. Shim to speak about is just the idea of making a Tanai on Muxen. Whether you can somehow, deal with the issue of Muxen. And obviously we're talking about something which is initially Muxen ben Shmashas, but then, you're hoping a future stage that whatever the problem is, some kind of issa hanging over it will fall away, whether a Tanai will work to help. Sorry?
You're referring to the staff?
Yes, one example will be... wait a sec.
That's how it works, you say.
I think it is Mux. But we'll get to that. But there'll be different examples. But I just want to say, that's the general in we're going to look at. And hopefully all the way to halacha, yeah? So just to kind of get everyone thinking, I suppose, let's start from the opposite end, yeah? In terms of halacha, we actually paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to two things, yeah? One is when it comes to Yom Tov, yeah? We know that was the very, very right early on. We saw that in terms of Yom Tov, we go like Rabbi Yehuda, right, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, yeah? And we'll speak about that machlokes in a second, yeah? But also, generally, when it comes to Muksa for things which are Dvar Issa, we also generally hold, yeah, like Rabbi Yehuda. So let's give an example of that, yeah? The classic example which comes in our Gemara, yeah? So you've got a Nair, right, or a candle, yeah, it's not a candle, kind of bowl, yeah, that's got oil in it, yeah, and it's lit, yeah. So ben shmashas, yeah, that is muksa, right, because there's an issue, you can't use that oil because it's burning, and if you were to take away the oil, that would be mechaba, right, so there's an issa hanging over that, yeah, and it makes it muksa, right. So what happens, though, when that light goes out during Shabbos, during Yom Tov, yeah, so... That's the classic machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that's okay, yeah, because a person has to ask right from the beginning, even though it's muksa ben shmashas, that I'm thinking about what's going to happen when it goes out, yeah, and when it goes out, I want to use the rest of the oil, yeah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no, yeah, we look at it, its status ben shmashas, and since it's not mukhan, right, ben shmashas, because it's muksa because of the issa, so then it becomes muksa the whole Shabbos or the whole Yom Tov, yeah. So we're going to see how does Tanai fit into that. So let's start with from our sugya, our brisa. So basically we bring here a brisa, yeah. And within the brisa there's an argument Tanakama and Shimon, yeah. So we're going to assume that although we talk about Tanakama, that's basically Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to whether you can take wood, yeah, from a sukkah on Yom Tov. So later on, what we explain there is we're actually talking about when Rabbi Shimon goes and says that's okay, we're talking about a weak sukkah, right? And it's fallen down. So that's actually then similar to our case of the Nair, because when you're talking about wood on, wood on the schach or even maybe on the walls, yeah, right? But the sukkah structure, right? So ben shmashas is being used, it's there as a sukkah, and even if it's not sukkahs, yeah, even if it's shavuos, yeah. But you can't, there's nothing you can do with that because if you were to take it away, that would be destroying an oel, yeah? So again, it's similar to this Nair that you can't move it because it's got an issa hanging over it, yeah? But since it's a weak one, yeah? So what the Gemara spells out is for Rabbi Shimon, there he has his principle of Yoshef and Mitzapa, right? One sits and one thinks, wow, this is likely to fall down or could well fall down during Yom Tov, yeah? So therefore, in the situation where it falls down, and I've got a fight, I need to cook and whatever, so I'd like to use this wood, yeah? So that's the machlokes. Tanakama says that doesn't work because it's Rabbi Yehuda, that's what we were speaking about before. But Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, you can have this concept of Yoshev and the Supper, and therefore that, so to speak, you can look even from the beginning to future usages, yeah? So that's the machlokes. And then the Baraita continues and says, yeah, that if you're dealing, though, with a sukkah on sukkahs, yeah, then everyone agrees that's asa, right? And we explain that later on, yeah? But, and then it ends off saying, yeah, that if you make a Tanai, right, then everything goes according to the Tanai. So that's basically the brisa, yeah? Now, let's look at that last part, yeah? So again, it talks about the fact that on sukkah, that everyone agrees that it's asa, yeah? So if the thing was to fall down, you would try to use the wood, it's going to be asa, right? But and then it carries on and says everything, if you make it tight, everything goes according to the Tanai. Yeah? So the first thing the Gemara does is works out, what's going on here, yeah? The reason why it's Asa, right, is because we see that it's Pesukim, that when it comes to Sukkos, right, there's a kind of a Shem Shemayim that goes on the Sukkah. That means it's kind of, we use a great term, consecrated, yeah, for the whole 7 days. So whatever happens, in terms of what we were talking about before, a Sukkah on Shavuos, where you can have Das and think, well, once it's fallen down, it's just word and it's available for usage, yeah? That's not going to be true, right, in relation to a Sukkah on Sukkahs, because it's consecrated for 7 days, yeah? But then that being the case, we now have a problem with the very last little segment, because if that's the case, then how does a Tanai help, yeah? If something is consecrated, yeah, because it's a halachic kind of Sukkah, yeah, then whatever Tanai you're going to say, either Tanai being, you know, right now I'm going to say that once it's fallen down, I want to use it as wood, yeah? It shouldn't help, right? So basically the answer that we give, yeah, and this is the key thing, right, that we're going to be looking at is Amar Rav Nasya, right, Breda Rava, right, Rava, Sefer Atnan, the Sukkah de Alma, right? Aval, Sukkah de Mitzvah, Loma Hani Batna, right? So in Achanami, yeah, Atnai doesn't help for a Sukkah of a Mitzvah, and we do go on to talk about where there is a case in Sukkah, we know about the decorations where Tanai may help because it stops it in its tracks, it stops it becoming part of the Sukkah. But the Etzim Sukkah, it doesn't help, yeah? So where does this last part of the statement where it says, if one makes it Tanai, Hakol Afi Tanai, where is that going? So the answer, according to Rav Nasser, is it's going, yeah, on Sukkah D'Alma. It's actually going all the way back to the first part of the Brice that was just talking about a normal Sukkah on Shavuos, yeah? So now, that's kind of the simple flow, right? But what I want to do now is to think about, okay, well, if we plug that in back into the ratio, what comes out? What is that Tanai doing, yeah? So once again, in the ratio, yeah, we have an argument of Reb Shimon and the Tanakama, let's say Reb Yehuda, as to whether you can use, normal kind of wood on the schach, even the walls, something that's not samukhla. Samukhla maybe, you know, is better, right? But let's talk about the main structure, yeah? So even if it's weak and it's fallen down, what do we say? We say for the Tanakama, Rabbi Huda says that's, you know, you can't use that because Ben Ishmash is, it's not available, yeah? Rabbi Shimon says, no, one is Yoshev and Mitzapa, and therefore it's completely fine. And now we're coming along and saying, but if there's a Tanai, right, then everything goes according to Tanai. So on a simple level, who's that speaking to? That's not speaking to Rabbi Shimon, right? Because Rabbi Shimon, he's got a klal of Yoshev and Mitzapa without saying anything. You know, one is looking and thinking, oh yeah, they've got weak kind of sukkah here. Yeah, I've definitely, you know, the stum das is that once it falls down, I want to use it for wood. So what? Who's the Tanai coming to help? Seemingly you'd say it's coming to help the Tanakama, right? The Tanakama says, no, Yeshiv Mitzapha doesn't help. One doesn't have stum das, yeah? But if one goes and makes an explicit Tanai and says, you know, this sukkah, right, even though Ben Ishmashas can't touch it because, you know, it will be sota, that, yeah, there will be a problem of a malachadika problem, but I want to make a Tanai that you should know that once it falls down, yeah, and you know it's just lying on the floor, I want to use that as wood, right? Then it helps, yeah. That seems to be then what would come out pashtus. Okay, so let's now speak about that. That is according to many rishonim what comes out, right? But in fact, if you've got the sheet here, yeah, there's actually, I've listed kind of four different approaches in the rishonim, yeah. So we'll speak that through. The first two go with this approach, but there's another kind of sub-discussion as to what sukkah we're talking about that this Tanai would permit, yeah? So let's go to the most extreme opinions. That's the Ramban and the Ram, yeah? And they're on different Gemara and Shabbos, yeah? And they spell out, yes, that this Tanai works even for Yehuda, but they say, you know what? It even works for a sukkah bria, right? Which means a strong sukkah. Because until now, if you recall, we had to say, when we were talking about the sukkah, we were talking about kind of a weak sukkah that, you know, that's going to fall down. And why would it work even for a strong sukkah? So the answer would be, because why did we make an akimta of a weak sukkah? That was because we were at that stage explaining Reb Shimon, yeah? And we asked, wait a sec, we understand Reb Shimon has a klal of Yoshev and Safa, yeah, the one sitting and waiting. But if it's a strong sukkah, then why would one assume one's sitting and waiting for it to fall down? I understand in there that obviously it's going to go out at some point in time. Yeah, so you just sit and wait for it to go out. That makes sense. A strong sukkah, why would anyone ever expect it to fall down? So that's why in the Gemara we set it up as a weak sukkah. But here, when one's coming and explicitly making a Tanai, according to these Rishonim, yeah, it doesn't have to be a weak sukkah. Yeah, and one's explicitly saying, making absolutely clear, if this thing falls down, I want to use it as it for wood. Yeah, that can work, these Rishonim say, even for a strong sukkah. Right, so again, you've got the biggest kiddush, even for Rabbi Yehuda, despite his general klal that you always have to be, you know, something which has got an issa hanging over ben ishmashes, is us of the whole thing. This is like a major exception, yeah? The, because of this tonight. Now, the next group is the Rashba and the Balamor, yeah? And they basically say no, yeah? That this only applies to a weak sukkah. And the Balamor comes and kind of throws in a bit of a svara here, right? Which shows you that we're not so comfortable with this in terms of why it should work for Rabbi Yehuda. And what he says is, because if it's a weak sukkah, right, then even ben ishmashes, it's kind of not so muksa. Why? Yeah? Because again, what makes a sukkah muksa ben ishmashes? So we said it's because at the end of the day, you can't take any of the wood down because it'll be destroying the sukkah. So the Baal HaMor ties and says, well, if it's a weak sukkah, then that's not really considered a proper ohel in a Torah, a structure in a Torah. Yeah? And therefore, even if you were to take, you know, away wood and whatever, then in fact it would only be an issa de rabbanon. And since therefore the whole issa which makes it muksa is only an issa de rabbanon, it's kind of a lesser degree of muksa, yeah. And therefore on that the tanai works. So that's kind of a second approach, yeah. But still going within Rabbi Yehuda. The next approach, yeah, is much more drastic and just does not want to hold, yeah, for Rabbi Yehuda a tanai should work, yeah. And we're going to try to explain, by the way, in a second, what maybe I saw a lovely idea in terms of what the source of this machlokes rishonim, why Rabbi Yehuda a tanai maybe could work or couldn't work. But this next group, the Ravid and the Tosfos Arid, they're not prepared to consider that Rabbi Yehuda the tanai will work. But in that case, of course, how do we explain our Gemara? Right? We said for Rabbi Shimon, seemingly we don't need it, and it's going back on the ratio. So what's it doing? So check this out, because it's quite ingenious, yeah. So beforehand we said there was a distinction, yeah, in terms of, yeah, wood on when there's extra wood on a sukkah, yeah. We do know that if it's summer fluff, it's stuff which is, we said right of it, is basically not attached to the structure, yeah. So, you know, it's wood which is bundled up or something like that, yeah. Or it's kind of, you know, it's not on the roof, it's kind of, I suppose, discernibly separate, yeah. So that we're okay with, right, because there's not going to be a problem in the sota, yeah, because it's not part of the sukkah structure. But what happens if you've got kind of an extra layer of schach? So beforehand we would have said, well, you know, if it's an extra layer of schach, that's just, you know, it may not be halachically needed, yeah? But, you know, it's still part, it looks like it's part of the schach, and therefore taking away would be sota, yeah? So according to this, there'd be a heta though. Because even though, if you put on an extra layer, even though normally the assumption would be it's part of the roof, if you made a tanai and say, this extra layer I'm putting on, yeah, it's not part of the sukkah. Right? I just want to make it clear, yeah? I'm just putting up there. It becomes like this bundle of wood that we said that you leave on top that's not part of the sukkah and it's available for usage. So really, that's all the tanai is doing. According to this, the tanai is coming along and saying the kind of extra thickness, yeah, of the sukkah. I'm making it clear that I don't want that to be part of the sukkah. And that's in a sense similar to what we end up seeing in our Gemara itself about the noi, yeah, about the decorations, yeah. It's possible for you to say, you know, right from the start, this is not going to be part of the sukkah, right? I want, you know, I've got this, you know, whatever it is, the fruit hanging down, and I want to make everyone absolutely clear, yeah, this is not a consecrated sukkah, part of the sukkah, it's something that I want to partake of. So if in essence, yeah, you're saying that by the extra layer of wood that's on top, you're kind of making it clear. And that's all we're doing, yeah? But anything which is actually part of, yeah, a sukkah, right? You can't then make a tanai and say, yeah, this is part of the sukkah structure, but afterwards, once it falls down, I want to use it, yeah? You have to make sure that it's, make clear it's not part. So that's the Ravid and the Tosfos Arid. And then the last opinion is the Rambam, yeah? Now, the truth is the Rambam just admits the whole din of tanai. So the question is, you know, again, passing like, you know, Why is he admitting the din of tanai if we're passing that way Rabbi Yehuda? So the Beis Yosef wants to say that actually, what is he saying? He's actually saying that this tanai helps, right, for a strong sukkah, right? But okay, but not for Rabbi Yehuda, but for Rabbi Shimon. So once again, because our initial thing, what the reason why we jumped back and said this must be within Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Shimon, we had the general klal of Yeshiv and Mitzapa, right, that helped us anyway, yeah. So we didn't need Reb Shimon's sheet in the ratio, is it's mutter. But if you recall, the reason why we ended up asking, well, how could he hold his mutter? You know, what, it's not similar to the nair where you expect it to go out. So we said it's a weak sukkah, right? So here, the chiddush would be that once when we say, if you make a tznai, it's going back and saying, and if you make a tznai, not only would Reb Shimon say a weak sukkah is of course permitted because Yoshef and Mitzapah, but if you make a tznai, then even a strong sukkah would be permitted. Because again, the only reason why we said a strong sukkah wouldn't be subject to Yoshev and Mitzapah is because one generally doesn't expect a strong sukkah to fall down. So one wouldn't be sitting and waiting for it. But if one explicitly says, listen, you know, this strong sukkah, I want to make clear, if it falls down, I want to use it, then that would work. But that's all within Reb Shimon, according to this.
How does that fit to the Gemara, though?
Why? Well, all it says, all the Gemara says is, yeah, that it's going back... Yeah, well, this part you'd say not everyone agrees. It just says v'im hisna alecha hakol fitno, yeah, in a chanami, yeah. It's mechudish dikum pshat. Now that's why I suppose the shavin, what really I was pointing out is, yeah, the shavin, is it sound? We would have thought that everyone agrees to this, yeah, because it starts off by saying shavin besuka b'chag besuka shasura, right, and then it says v'im hitna alecha hakol fitno. So you have to say, you're right to point this out, you have to say a chiddush here, that when we're saying v'im hisna alecha hakol fitno, and we're going to take it and then put that back in the ratio, that is now dislocated from the concept of shavim that everyone agrees. And it's kind of just floating back to the shita of Reb Shimon. Yeah, again, that's a mechudish dikah.
So how's the Rambam different to the Rambam?
Well, the huge difference here is that who we're going with it. Because the Ramban, and again, most, you know, the first sheets that we're talking about, all understand this is a chiddush for Rabbi Yehuda, maybe because of the reason Rabbi Yehuda was saying, yeah? That Rabbi Shimon, if you're going back to the ratio, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, we don't need to say anything more for Rabbi Shimon, yeah? So the first sheet we talked about, where it said it works even on a strong sukkah, wanted to say, yeah, it's Rabbi Yehuda, even on a strong sukkah.
Even
Rabbi Yehuda and... Yeah, Kosh came Rabbi Shimon, yeah, Kosh came Rabbi Shimon. And here you're right. It's in a sense a similar thing, but we're not saying it's Rabbi Yehuda. We're just saying for sure we don't want to contemplate that Rabbi Yehuda would ever admit to such a thing as tonight. Yeah, but rather it's you know the same chiddush, the strong circle, but within Rabbi Shimon. So anyway, bottom line is we in terms of these four approaches, the first two go with the idea of Rabbi Yehuda will accept that a tznai works. Yeah, despite his normal klal, and the only question is it. On a weak sukkah, yeah, or is it even a strong sukkah, right? And then the second two just don't want to go, you know, don't want to accept that could ever change for Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's a different kind of klal. It's either a klal in terms of what gets categorized as being part of the sukkah, as opposed to like a bundle hanging on top, yeah, or right, it's nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda and it's dislocated and it's going on Rabbi Shimon.
The foot of Lamed on the base, we have a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yossi with regards to whether when you can eat the esrog. Yeah. Mm. So one says that once, because it's like a difference between day and night, so Rav says that you can eat it on the same day. Rav Yossi says, no, you can't eat it on the same day, you have to eat it the following day. Mm. Because it's... So meaning that when it comes down to the nair with regards to Rabbi Yehuda, he would say you can't use that oil. Why? Because the oil was servicing the candle on that day, right?
Well, Benish Mashas, the key thing
Benish Mashas, set aside from Benish Mashas, but it's still servicing, you're still, you know, the Nair is still...
Well, it's not because of the mitzvah though, but yeah,
oh, yes,
right.
It's, not
it's just that the Nair there, you can't, Benish Mashas, you can't access the oil because of an Issa. If you were to take the oil, it would be Mechaba. It would be putting out the candle. So because you can't access the oil, yeah, I mean maybe other problems with buses, I'm not sure, but because you can't access the oil because of Issa, then that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that fixes its status the whole of the Shabbos, the whole of the Yom Tov, even when it goes out and now it's just oil, you know, plain oil.
Well, the thing is, the candle is servicing like something to do with something that has some kedusha with it, meaning like you lit the candle because you need the light for Shabbos, or you need the...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I'm not sure you need to say it's a kind of a... I'm not sure that's the difference I'm saying between... The esrog is clearly a mitzvah, yeah? And you see, when we came to the reason why I bought an esrog was because of Lincoln Sukkah. We were assuming that there's some kind of designation for, you know, of a mitzvah for a certain period of time, like a sukkah. So that's a stronger level, which we come on to the Gemara. Here, when we talk about the Nair, no one holds that there's necessarily a kind of a second consequence. consecration or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, right, so it's not consecration.
Yeah, it's more the general klal, right? Because remember, that consecration is that's why it's shavin, yeah? Right, shavin, even for Rib Shimon, yeah? That a sukkah on sukkahs, yeah? Even if it's a weak sukkah and it's going to fall down, it's not going to help. Because it's consecrated, yeah? For all 7 days. Right, and therefore even Chol HaMoed, by the way, you know, it's not, you know, that's the whole point, yeah? That's the chiddush there. Okay, so back to here. What I'm trying to point out is, in terms of the Rishonim, yeah, there's a very different approach in terms of Rabbi Huda, yeah. You know that classic Rabbi Huda shita is that if you know once we're in something is not designated, yeah, ben shmashis, it's kind of locked out for the whole of Shabbos, for the whole of Yom Tov. And the question is, can Tanai go and change that? Yeah, first two groups of Rishonim say yes in different ways. The second two group of two would say no. So what I saw in the Sefer Avnei HaMakom, yeah, I saw a nice explanation, kind of simple explanation, but a nice explanation to where these two groups are coming from. And what he basically explains is, yeah, why is it, yeah, that for Rabbi Yehuda, let's take a step back, he explains as a machlokes achronim, why is it for Rabbi Yehuda that Yosef and Mitzapa doesn't work? So do you understand the question? So the classic machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is you've got your ner that's lit, yeah. And can you, you know, and Ben Shmashas, it's kind of, you know, you can't do anything with it, but it will go out, and therefore, for Rabbi Shimon, he holds, yeah, one sits, and even Ben Shmashas, one has in mind the what's going to happen in future. So even if Ben Shmashas, you can't use it, but that das for future means it's not muksa. Muksa is when you push it out of your mind, yeah? So why does Rabbi Huda not hold by that Yosef and Mitzapa, right? So one approach is to say he agrees in Mitzias, yeah, that a person is Yosef and Mitzapa, right? And that maybe that's somewhat person has in mind, that one thinks, yeah, you know, I can't wait, you know, this thing will go out and then there'll be oil lying around. But what he holds is in principle, yeah, something which, it doesn't matter that kind of looking to the future, yeah? Something which has not got a designation in a usage benish mashas, yeah? It's out, yeah. That's how muksa works, yeah. And it doesn't matter, even if one is aware of the fact that afterwards it will become kind of permissible. That doesn't help. It, you know, the benish mashas period is what fixes everything, kind of so to speak, gemarnu. Yeah, that's one approach. The other approach is to say that no, yeah, he's not quite so rigid in terms of, you know, you have to look and be designated benish mashas, but rather he argues a bit in mitzias, and he says, listen, I don't think a person is really so yeshiv and supper, yeah. Yeah, a person generally thinks about what's in front of them, yeah, and they don't think so much about future usage, yeah, and therefore that's the only reason. It's not that you know, in theory maybe Yosef Mitzapa could work. It's just in Mitzias one isn't generally say Yosef Mitzapa. So those are the two approaches in Rabbi Huda. So Avnei HaMakom wants to say this Machlokes Rishonim will fit into that, yeah, because the approach that wants to say that the Tanai will work will go with that second approach that I've just said, which means, yeah, that, yeah, in theory, you could look to future usage, yeah? You're not so rigid, yeah? It's just generally, Matthias says he doesn't think people are so much Yeshiv and Supper. But if one goes and makes an explicit Tanai and says, I want everyone to know, yeah? I'm waiting for this Nair to go out and I want to use the oil once it goes out, then even Rabbi Huda would agree. He just doesn't agree in the stomachs, but when someone makes Tanai, bravado, that will work. So they won't say that's the first group of Rishonim, yeah? The second group, though, would turn around and say, yeah? No, yeah? Even if you were to make a Tanai and make it absolutely explicit that you've got das on the future usage, Rabbi Huda is rigid and holds that something has to be mucham ben yishmash. It doesn't matter what, you know, however strong you express your future das, yeah? And therefore, wants to explain that that's basically the shoresh of that machlokas. So let's finish off. How do we come down in terms of halacha, yeah? So this is fascinating, actually, because, as I said, we hold like Rabbi Huda and Halacha, so this should be Nager Lamaisa, this Machlokes Rishonim. And the answer is, surprise, surprise, kind of suspense of it, is that there's a case which talks about, yeah, the Ner, right, and the Mechaber, right, says that if one makes it tonight, it works. The Ramah comes along and says, Yesh Omen, it doesn't work, and that's our Minhag, yeah? So it turns out, according to the Ner, that the Mechaber would seem to say it tonight works, and the Ramah says we definitely doesn't. When it comes to the equivalent in terms of the Sukkah, yeah, the whole thing is left out, yeah? And therefore, there's, you know, the Achronim question, well, what happened to the Mechaber, right? The Magen Avraham wants to kind of make a distinction between, say, somehow Tanai works for the Ner but doesn't work for the Sukkah, right? But there's a long Be'alacha, right, that wants to say, no, he left out because it was already mentioned. But Bavada, you would hold, it also works for the Sukkah. But Halacha Lemaisa, since Ashkenazim certainly would go with the Ramah, it's not really Shach Halacha Lemaisa. except for one thing, which is I did see the Chazon Ish wants to kind of, he's basically arguing in a sense with the Ramah, right? But he wants to say that if it's a weak sukkah, then you can rely on making it tonight, yeah? Again, not on sukkahs, on Shavuos. because he wants to add an extra serif that there are some people who say we should paskin like Reb Shimon. So since even though we do paskin like Reb Yehuda, there's opinions within Reb Yehuda, we saw this machlokes, that tonight does work, yeah? Definitely for a weak sukkah. And since also there's an opinion that we go like Reb Shimon, so Sach HaKol, apparently the Chazon Ish wants to say you can rely on that tonight for a weak sukkah. So if you've got a weak sukkah on this verse, according to the Chazon Ish, you could make it tonight.
It's interesting because the classic case of one of the classic cases of muksa we say is like samukim alagav, and that's when it's not fitting